Carolyn, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yes, my pleasure.
Your presentation is entitled K2 in Northern Pakistan Back in the Day. Sounds like there's about three things there that we could talk about.
Okay.
So let's talk about all three of them, starting with K2. Tell us about K2. What is K2?
K2 is the second highest mountain in the world, and it's in the Karakoram Range, which is to the west of the range, the Himalaya specifically. And in 1987, I was the base camp manager and first aid specialist for expedition to K2 to try to climb the mountain.
How did you get that position?
I had worked for Rainier Mountaineering in Washington for a number of years and had been on another expedition to Everest with them in 1984 as a base camp manager. And they thought I did a good enough job. They wanted to ask me back. Plus, they decided they can't cook for themselves.
So what did your job entail?
Pretty much from the very beginning. I mean, even, you know, before getting there, there were all kinds of the expedition members had packed all of the food and equipment and sent it to Pakistan ahead of us. But once there were about 250 boxes of food and camping equipment and climbing equipment and every, you know, thing that needed to be sorted. And I was in charge, and medical equipment, I was in charge of kind of keeping the lists for that. And then as we moved up toward the mountain, you know, making meals or arranging for meals to be made by some of the Pakistanis that we had with us. I cooked three meals a day plus afternoon snacks and tea and all that sort of stuff for the entire time that we were on the mountain.
How many people were part of the expedition?
There were six climbers.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. So I was expecting something giant, you know, like a whole bunch of people. Six people were climbing. How many supports people did they have?
We had a large number of porters to help get all of this equipment to base camp, because at that time you had to hike 130 miles up the Baltoro Glacier to get to the base camp at K2. And so we had Pakistani porters.
Okay. There were, you know, for somebody like myself, for example, who has never seen an expedition like this, how is it different than a day hike?
Of
course not. Yeah, but like
it was like a day hike times 250. You know,
what is an expedition? The goal is to get to the top of the mountain, of course, right?
Yes.
But what do you have to do in between?
Well, you have to get yourself to base camp, and you have to for the climbers, they have to start acclimating to the altitude. Our base camp, I can't quite remember, but it was around 17,000 feet. So, you know, just getting to base camp, you were acclimating by walking this 130 miles up the glacier. And then starting to move food and equipment for the climbers up higher and higher camps on the mountain itself.
And then eventually when you get at the top, there's a lot of things you have to keep in account as well, right?
Get to the top of the mountain?
The top of the mountain.
Yes.
Because that's
specifically
only half of
now
the...
I have to get down.
Right. That's only half the trip. Yes. So
it's a round trip.
What were the challenges you had as you completed this expedition?
Well, my challenges were trying to think of what to have for dinner. Big challenges that the whole expedition had, specifically the climbers, was that we happened to be there in a year when it just would not stop snowing. And the avalanche danger, obviously, then was very great on the route. And it was very difficult to move up the mountain.
Hmm. Why was it so hard to figure out what to have for dinner?
Because we had limited supplies. You know, it's not like I could...
You can't run to the grocery store.
Right, yeah. And so many of the supplies were, of course, dried foods and, you know, the things that you would expect being away. We had no fresh food, basically, for 2 months. And it's just kind of... I had to be kind of creative, you know. And it was not just dinner, then it was breakfast and lunch, too, that had to be... thought about, and nutrition for climbers that can burn 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day is very important, and it's a big part of their morale.
Do you remember by any chance what the most creative food dish you created was?
Donuts.
Really?
Which are very difficult to make at that altitude because the boiling point is so much greater or so much less than it is at lower elevation. So donuts that usually take a couple of minutes to fry took like a half an hour, and I didn't want them to be soggy and greasy. So that was a challenge.
Yeah. Okay, so the another part of your presentation is Northern Pakistan.
Yes.
And Northern Pakistan in 1987 was probably pretty different than how it is now. Describe what Northern Pakistan was like in 1987.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. In 1987, America in general was very welcomed into Pakistan because of aid that we were giving the country and that type of thing. And as a single woman traveling through Pakistan, particularly northern Pakistan, which is a very tribal area, I had no problems whatsoever. They're very watchful over their own women, and it turned out they were very watchful over me, and they were concerned about my safety. And I did not have any trouble traveling in areas where now, and I'm pretty bold and fearless, I would not go. So it was a wonderful snapshot in time of a wonderful country with, you know, sweet, kind people.
Based on, you know, current events, there's been actually a lot of talk about Pakistan in the news. Based on what you can tell, how has it changed?
Well, I think particularly with more fundamentalist Muslim influences. Again, as a single American woman, it would be very dangerous to travel in that area. There's just so many more restrictions for, I think, any tourists traveling. And the State Department, in fact, says, don't go to certain places. Whereas before, there were no restrictions really like that. And so it's very much a different scene altogether now.
You've lived in the mountains of southwestern Colorado for a long time. What are the biggest differences that you see?
Well, if you were to climb Mount Wilson, you wouldn't even be quite to the elevation of the base camp.
Mount Wilson near Telluride.
Yes, which is,
it's, you know, a 14er.
14, mm-hmm. 410. I get the Wilsons mixed up.
Yeah, over 14,000 feet.
Yeah, over 14,000 feet. And then, of course, the culture that you encounter being in this area versus being in a country like Pakistan. And particularly in northern Pakistan, which the part we were in is considered, it's called Baltistan, and it's populated by the Balti people who have been there for millennia, and they have their own culture. And that's really, to me, the more interesting part of traveling is seeing the various cultures. You know. But otherwise, you know, the vegetation is about the same when you're at the same elevations. And you know.
Any other similarities that you saw?
The locals, you know, when you think of locals here and the locals there, they were very much the same. They were excited for people to see their area. They were helpful, you know. So there were great similarities in the personalities of the locals there as well as here.
What did you come away with it thinking? Or how did it change you?
Well, when I get back from these long expeditions to sort of exotic places, it takes me a couple of months to return to Western civilization mentally. You learn that you can get along with a lot less than what you have or expect or feel that you're entitled to is one thing that I really bring home with me.
Carolyn Gunn is a retired veterinarian. She lives in Dolores. She spent time as a base camp manager and first aid specialist for a climbing expedition to the second highest mountain in the world, K2. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.